We are awestruck in your presence, Lord Jesus. We pray today that you would use us and welcome us into your presence. Lord, you tell us in your word that your kingdom is being built. And Lord, I thank you that it is built within us and in this world, that one day you will come again, victorious King, to reign completely in this world. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us and your promises that continue to be fulfilled even in our day. Thank you for your blessings upon us today that we can come here together as your people to worship you in spirit and in truth this day. We commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to hearing your voice speaking to us. Open our ears, Lord. Help us to see glorious things in your word and in your world. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've poured it out upon your people, even upon us. Thank you, Lord, that your church continues to multiply and grow around our world. We thank you for ones that are serving faithfully in difficult places in our world today, places of persecution, places of lacking in economics, places of political turmoil. Lord, where there's famine, where there's pestilence, where there's hardship, Lord, you are in the midst of your people, and you're enabling them, and you're helping them, and you're empowering them to show the light of your glory, as we've sung today. Lord, may heaven shine through your people, and Lord, may the prison walls be opened up. May the shackles be torn off. May all freedom be experienced in your people, because we are free indeed if we have you as our Savior, as we have you as our Lord. We commit ourselves to you afresh this morning. Pray your blessing upon this church and upon your people and upon your church around this world. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. It's so good to have each one of you here today. And just want to give a special welcome to a few people this morning. If you're celebrating a birthday in the month of September, we want you to stand up today, and we want to recognize your birthdayness. Yeah. If you have a birthday in September, we want you to stand. There they are. Okay. Okay, keep standing, keep standing. How about up in the balcony here? Oh, yeah, okay. You're confessing. Okay, that's good. So you've seen these guys stand up or standing up. Please go and recognize them during their coffee break and say happy birthday to them. If it's at the beginning of the month or at the end of the month, thank you for standing, guys. As well, we have some people that are visiting with us from a long time ago, but not a long time ago, as we continue to pray for them while they're off in Taiwan. So they've been ministering to largely the Vietnamese diaspora. Tuan Han, Pastor Tuan, Pastor Han are back with us, so please stand. It's so good to have you guys back in the neighborhood. Han was telling me they're over in Surrey, but they do have a condo here in Coquitlam, and they're intending to move back into the area shortly in the month of December. So do continue to remember them. They are officially retired, but as you know, pastors and missionaries and people like that don't really retire, do we, Anne? No. So please do continue to pray for Tuan Han and pray for their work in Taiwan. And we'll look forward to hearing a little bit more about your ministry and how we can better pray for our brothers and sisters there. Thank you so much for gathering in God's name today to worship him. And part of being a church body is finding out a little bit more about each other. So I think that, you know, wishing people a happy birthday and finding out who's traveling and being amongst us, it's so good. So, you know, We want to encourage you, if you're visiting with us, be so bold as to stand up and say your name and say where you've come from. And we want to welcome you this morning. So anybody visiting here for the first time? Okay, thank you for being bold. Can you tell us your name and where you're from? So up at the front first.
Oh, hi. My name is Ken.
And where are you coming from, Ken? Okay. Thank you for joining us, Ken. And in the back? Jesse, right down the street. Good to have you, Jesse. Up at the top, were you standing? No, I know you. You're not a new member. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I've brought along a few things with me as I've entitled the message this morning, Being Poured Out. It was funny because I was running around looking for containers before the service, and I went into the coffee room and grabbed this handy-dandy device. I didn't know what it was, but I grabbed it and started walking out, and one of our Mandarin ladies chased me down and said, Pastor, that's mine. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I would like it for an illustration this morning. Do you mind if I use it? And she said, no, for you, Pastor. You can take my cake cover. And I said, thank you. So if the pastor's running around doing strange things, you might have to forgive him this morning. So my title to the message is Being Poured Out by the Holy Spirit being poured out. And so I've got a pitcher of water here. It's not anything fancy. And I got a cup and a kind of a bowl item. A milk jug. So I'm going to take aim in pouring out and just hopefully, yeah, it's a little tough to get it into the, what's that? Right by the outlet. No, that wasn't too smart. Okay, I'm having a bad illustration time here. Okay. And here we go. This is the cup. Okay. And then we have just the bowl. Okay. So the idea is, in way of my illustration this morning, is that, you know, the wider the mouth is, the better. And the less dangerous being poured by the, I'm going to use that as well, by the outlet is not a good idea either, right? And then, so the idea is that we are the container. We being poured out. The Holy Spirit is being poured out upon us this morning. What are we? Are we the milk jug with just the tiny constriction to let the Holy Spirit in? Or are we a cup? Or are we a bigger container with a wider mouth, being willing to receive? What blocks the Holy Spirit's from the inflow? And I just want that question to kind of percolate in your hearts and your mind as you hear the message this morning. So again, we turn to the book of Acts chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 14 to verse 41 this morning. And these verses for us this morning are really a sermon by the Apostle Peter. So it's kind of a little strange, a pastor preaching someone else's sermon. It's kind of a little weird, but I'm preaching about preaching. Who's a preacher that's preached a sermon? So the Apostle Peter. So this is what the Apostle Peter said and addressed to the crowd of long ago. Peter stood up with the 11, raising his voice and addressing the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's not only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and I knew that God had promised him on earth that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what is to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is God's word to his church, to us this morning. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, Luke describes the scene before him. And then he gives opportunity for us to listen in to the message Peter proclaimed on that day as people saw these men, these women proclaiming God's glory in their own languages, in their own tongues, that they had come from all over the world to come to Jerusalem for that festival of weeks, festival of harvest, something that even as a Chinese community is being celebrated here in Autumn Festival. We celebrate autumn and the bringing in of harvest, those first fruits, the goodness of God, his blessing upon us and giving us the fruit of the land. Jews were celebrating that together in Jerusalem, and Peter had a vast crowd. And so he stood up and proclaimed the reason that they were hearing these languages in their own dialects, in their own language from so many different areas of the world, God testifying that indeed his message was not for just singularly the Jew, but for all people, for all people. This is what was spoken. Really, this sermon that Peter is preaching, there, he uses a sermonic device that Jesus also used called a pesher of the Old Testament scripture. And so he takes a piece of scripture and says, this is that. This is that. This is being fulfilled in your hearing today. And so he takes the testimony of the prophet Joel and breaks that down and changes some of the wording, changes it to being, in Joel's sense, a future tense to, in Peter's mind, a present reality and fulfillment of God's work in the church and in the world and in the age that it was. He says, Joel says that it was spoken of in way of a place that was in that future time, Peter uses the words in the last day in that first verse. Joel has said in chapter 2, verse 21, that these things would happen in a future tense, future way. Peter says, in the last days. We are in the last days, he says to people. And in this way, you are being so poured out by the Holy Spirit. It is coming upon you, and you have the opportunity to be so blessed. It's interesting, in verse 21 here, he talks about the salvation of the Lord, where Joel talks about in following verses that this is for Jerusalem and Zion. The Apostle Peter breaks it down and says, no, this is listen to Jesus of Nazareth, a man credited to you by God in verse 21 there. And so he takes a little bit of liberty with Joel's testimony to take it out of a future context of a prophecy and bring it right down into the current present situation to explain what was going on with all these people speaking these diverse languages. So it is that we have a unanimous conviction by most New Testament scholarship that Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection inaugurated the Messianic age, with the final proof being the pouring out of his Holy Spirit upon his church. We cannot quote the prophet Joel today and say there is some kind of future context that the prophecy would be fulfilled in, because Peter, in way of this sermon, has said it is being fulfilled, or it is fulfilled here in your presence, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out and will continue to be poured out upon the church. Furthermore, this current age is one of abundance, being forthcoming from this word poured out that Peter continually draws upon in his sermon. Pouring out of the Spirit, a gushing forth of liberality, of quantity, an overflowing of the cup, a spilling out, a drenching, a soaking, is in order in way of this word pouring out. Everything and everyone is drenched by God's Spirit in these verses. Jesus is the hinge of all history. And so Peter breaks it down for those people of long ago, explaining to them who Jesus of Nazareth actually was and is. History is linear in direction. It's not circular. It's going in a direction. It has purpose. It has design. Today, many people view history as something that's random, something that's happenstance just around us. But the scriptures teach, and God teaches, that no, he has a purpose and a design, and history is going in a definite direction in way of building God's kingdom. We have a glorious future and a glorious hope in God. A consummation is at hand. Christ will come again. This passage is an account of that first sermon ever preached concerning God's plan and purpose for our world and for us. It was obviously meant by Luke to be a template, a pattern for preachers, for pastors, to understand how a good sermon is to be preached. And one commentator, Barclay, said, you know, really, this sermon can be broken down into four components. First component is a plain proclamation of the facts of the gospel. Facts of the gospel: Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he died on a cross. And that death on that cross was able to deal with sin. And then he proved that he was able to deal with sin by being resurrected. And then, of course, came the ascension and the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit. So an explanation of the relevance of these facts to people's hearts and lives. And then thirdly, an exhortation to conform one's life to the reality of God's kingdom come in this world. And then fourthly, in light of these facts, an application. How then should we live, or what should we do because of these things? Peter presents proof that Jesus and all that has happened to him was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He talks about David and about David's descendants, and this one particular descendant being one that his body would not see decay. Jesus indeed is the hinge to all of history. Thus, all history points to the fact that God is in control and working out his perfect and good will. The early church understood Jesus as that hinge of history. And so the church needs to be and continues to be Christ-centered. The CNMA has long had its logo as Christ as the focus. So we have four emblems in our logo. One is the cross, representing Christ as Savior. And then Christ as sanctifier, represented by the cup. The pitcher is Christ the healer. And then finally, Christ the coming King as the crown. So those four emblems that make up the Christian and Missionary Alliance logo is part of what we stand for as a denomination. And well, we should. Christ is center. Christ is so central to the church, and we need to continue to proclaim that as a church and a denomination. Jesus has opened the door and passed through eternity into time, resulting in a cosmic shift of reality in how God is now working in our world today. God came down and became a human being to communicate his love to us. Not only that, but he did the greatest work for humanity by dealing with our sin before himself as a holy God, that our sin could be vanquished and that we could then therefore live in right relationship to God and right relationship to each other. Jesus coming was huge in way of the kingdom of God invading everyday existence, to then the pouring forth of his Holy Spirit because of Jesus' work, and because it needs to continue to be a work that people hear about and then live in as a reality. So the Holy Spirit came. It wasn't just a drizzle. It wasn't just a shower. It was a downpour. This soaking was irresistible and irrespective of social dignity, of economic standings, of sexuality in way of being either male or female, of age. There is nothing outward that would block the movement of the Holy Spirit. The only blockage in way of stricture was people's own receptivity to the Holy Spirit coming. The result of the Spirit being poured forth was manyfold according to the prophet Joel. The pouring forth resulted in your sons and daughters prophesying, your young men seeing visions, and your old men dreaming dreams. According to the prophet Joel, these things are universal in the church. These things happen because the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon His people. The age of seeing and hearing God is a reality in our day. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, maybe, how come is it that maybe I haven't seen so much in way of a vision or a dream in which God has come to me? How come I'm not receiving anything of late? Maybe my reception's a little faulty, or maybe the channel's not on the right channel, or what is it, you know, that I'm not having chances to prophesy and speak forth the glories of God and see those things that these people of old spoke of? Well, I believe in our Western busy schedule, we're filled with not a second that isn't filled with something. And so we constrict ourselves with the use of music, media, and mayhem in our lives that doesn't lend itself to being on God's channel. Solitude, prayer, fasting, and meditation are the channels by which God's Spirit gets a loudspeaker and vibrates our ear ossicles that we can actually hear and see by a vision God's work and God's purpose in our world and in our very lives. By this way, we get passion about the things of God, and we make Him central in our lives. Prophecy, in essence, is God speaking, using human instruments to make Himself known. Jeremiah 31, 34 says, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." All God's people are now prophets, priests, and kings. As evangelicals, we often shy away from the Spirit, thinking that the most important fact is God's Word. And I think the reason we do that is because the Spirit is of God. He's not able to be controlled by us. And something within our human nature always desires to control things, manage things, massage them to go the right direction so they don't spill out and make a mess and go into the outlet and shock everybody in the, maybe the pastor that's standing up here. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, it can get messy. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what He's going to do because it's Him that's driving the thing and not ourselves. And sometimes as evangelicals or whatever theological stripe we are, that scares us a little bit. And so we draw back from that and we constrict the opening from which the Holy Spirit can come into our lives. But if we really want to experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit as a church, as a person, we need to open wide as possible for that Holy Spirit to come and to minister. How do we do that? We do it by dealing with our sin before God, confessing our sins to one another, confessing our sin to God and saying, "God, I'm wrong. I haven't done this right. I need to be more open to You. Lord, change me. Convict my heart of my sin. Break my heart and my own strong willfulness." That's what Peter talks about in way of repentance, isn't it? Repentance is always being hard on ourselves and realizing that we haven't fulfilled the righteousness that God so deserves as a holy God. Scriptures tell us that only two can walk together in unity when they both believe and understand the same thing. And so we must believe, we must trust in God's work and seek His holiness in our lives. Well, secondly, Jesus crossed is a method of God. Verse 22 says that Jesus was accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, bringing no doubt that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. Furthermore, it was God's plan to send Jesus to die on a cross, not removing the crime from those who killed him. Those guilty of this heinous horror and injustice were not just those who did the deed, however. The one who killed Jesus is right here. You're looking at him. It's right there in the pew. He's you. She's you. We all have killed the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just as guilty as those Jews were on that day at Pentecost long ago as they gathered together. It says they were struck at the heart when they realized that they had killed God. They had taken God Himself, the one that had created all, that loved them so supremely. And they did something horrendous, unbelievable. They took that love. They said, I don't want it. I want my way. And they nailed him to the cross. We each have done that. Deuteronomy 21:33 says, a hanged man is accursed by God. He was crushed by God because he became sin on our behalf, taking the full weight of the punishment and wrath that a holy God must unleash against unrighteousness. So all the debt and the punishment that we so deserved from our unrighteousness and our sin, Jesus was made sin on our behalf. And so God turned his face away from his only Son and crushed him severely and punished him to the uttermost degree that his holiness might do justice and that we would be able to have the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Perfect proof that God's intentions of delivering his Son on the cross to die for human sin was the resurrection. That God himself was raised from the dead. Peter uses the account of David speaking about the body of the Holy One not seeing decay, not an account of David himself, but of Jesus Christ, his descendant. The fact that Jesus resurrected, Peter says boldly, attests to who he was as God himself. And Peter says, I had a front row seat. I saw it all. I was there. I saw him crucified. And then I saw him resurrected. I am a witness. David did not ascend, but recognized the origin and destiny of the risen Lord. In verse 36 and 37, there's a knockout punch and way of identity. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, brothers, what shall we do then? Peter calls them to repentance and baptism. Peter informs them of the actions they must take. First of all, repent of their sins. Repent of their sins. This is not so much a sorrow, but a decision to turn from our own rebellious ways to trusting God's work, His gospel's work, the good news that indeed Jesus Christ has died for sin. It's a change of thought and an action. We are to no longer be the center of our existence. God is on the rightful throne of our hearts and our lives and our world. It is He we must serve and must desire to love and look to in way of a lifelong relationship with. 1 Peter 1, Verse 18 and 19 says this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Christ himself paid for our sin. A lamb without defect and without blemish. God purchased for us on the cross eternal life. But furthermore, we are to get baptized. What's that about? Committing ourselves to the Lord. The Christian faith is not just a matter of belief, but it is a matter of action and of life. If so believing, we must be receptacles of God's Spirit, so promised by Jesus. How are you as a receptacle, as a container for Christ to dwell in you? Are you a closed mouth milk jug? Or are you a little broader mouth cup? Or are you a big open wide mouth bowl? I shouldn't have done that. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." The result of the first sermon, folks, was that 3,000 people came to faith in Christ and were baptized and added to the church that day. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first sermon is before you as a church and has continued to be preached for over 2,000 years to the present day. The question is, how do we receive it? Do we receive it in faith and trust and belief in God? Or do we constrict ourselves, close out God and say, "No, I don't want to believe that Christ is the hinge of history. I don't want to believe that he deserves the rightful place on the throne of my life. I want to be the boss of me." Folks, we have the choice each day, each moment, of what kind of receptacle we're going to be and how we're going to receive the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit not giving us enough of himself. It's our stricture on the mouth of our container that determines how much we receive and how much he will bless us in that. Let's pray. O Lord Jesus, we come before you and we pray, Lord, open our mouths, open our lives, that we might receive a blessing from you, even the infilling of your Spirit in these days. Lord, we know that there is fire and smoke. We know that there are shakings happening in our world today. That even then, you said in Peter's mouth that we are in the last days. But even more so are we in the last days here and now as we're in 2018. Lord, help us to be your light, your salt in a dark world that needs to hear this message, that needs to see our lives being lived for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. Help us even by the power of your Holy Spirit. Even come and be poured out upon us, your church, afresh and anew this day. Amen. Please stand with us as we sing.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Souls, Holy Spirit.
God's benediction upon your hearts today, taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Just direct your attention to a few announcements this morning. Just be reminded that we do have a coffee time in the connections room following the service. Thank you so much for visiting us today. It's so good to have visitors come to Westwood Alliance Church. We want to continue to reach out with God's truth, and it's always great to welcome new people. So this is an encouragement to you. Meet those people. Don't overwhelm them, but do meet those new people around you. Also, just be reminded that we do have the Alpha program that's happening on Wednesday nights. So please talk to myself or Sandrine or Lisi or Rick. Rick couldn't be with us this morning, but Lisi and Sandrine, can you just wave your hands? No, if you can't see that, there's two ladies down here. You just look for some ladies and say, are you Sandrine or Lisi? And people will direct you towards them, okay? You'll want to do that so we can make sure we have a space for you at our Alpha program on Wednesday nights. Also, our Awana ministry is still looking for help and volunteers. You want to talk to Pastor May or Sam Lee about that. Our breakfast is going to be happening this coming Saturday. So men, dust off those bicycles. We're going to head down to ABC Restaurant down by Schoolhouse, and then we're going to load up our vehicles and go to, I can never remember this, Barnstone Island. Have you ever heard of Barnstone Island? Well, there's Douglas Island. Maybe you've heard of Douglas Island. It's a little further east on the Fraser River. And so we're going to take a free ferry across to Barnstone Island and then bike around Barnstone Island. Hopefully, if the weather holds for us and, God's blessings on us. So do pray for that for our men's group on Saturday morning. I'll be sending out an email to those that are on our list. If you'd like to get on that list, please talk to me after the service. Also, our First Nations training is coming up on the 20th of October. So if you'd like to join us to go over to the island again in Nanaimo, to join us to help reach out to the First Nation people there in Nanaimo, I've been in contact with Pastor June at the Victory Church there in Nanaimo, and he's assured me that they're going to welcome us and that we have place to go around and do some door knocking at the reserve and to encourage our First Nation people to come to the Victory Church and to be a part of that church. So also there's personal information. Pay attention to that. We want to be safe in way of dealing with people's information, both individually and as a church. Also, you can see that our 24th anniversary is coming up. So mark your calendars for that. We do hope to have some choirs joining together for that event. We're really excited to be celebrating 24 years as a church. And also, we want to remind you, too, there's some things happening amongst our pastoral staff. People are traveling. Some of us are going to Toronto. Some of us are staying right here for a little bit of a holiday. Pastor Jim and Velma are away off to the greater European continent and going to visit some sites and stuff. And I understand they're celebrating kind of a big anniversary in relation to that. You'll want to congratulate them. I think it's 50, big 50 for them when they come back. Birthdays are important, so shake some hands around and say happy birthday to a few people. Shake anybody's hand and say happy birthday. And if they say, hey, it's not my birthday, say happy birthday at some time this year, right? Okay, God bless you as you go into your week. And remember that the Holy Spirit is being poured out. Let's be wide open receptacles for God's work in our lives and in our world. Amen? Amen. Thanks for joining us today.